Do I even need to ask? A deck of yeah, please. Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. A tremendous Friday to you. What's going on? Welcome to the show. It's a long holiday weekend, so what I'm going to ask of you is not something I would not ask myself. Come strong. Let's get it. Let's leave it all out there. Let's go into that weekend and earn it and feel good about it. Lots to get to. It's going to be a good day. Let's go ahead. Hit me up. 1-800-636-8686. First interview is coming up at 9:40. These are Pacific times. I'm on the West Coast. Bruce Bochy. Boch. Back in the jungle. Remember, he had retired. He came back. He is the manager of the Rangers. And the Rangers are in first place in the AL West. So, Bruce Bochy, 9:40. I'm looking forward to that. Second hour is wide open. Third hour, Zaire Franklin, a linebacker for the Indianapolis Colts. Zoomer, that's a good one. He's a great story. Friday also is an Alvin Ionic week that was day. Stucknut has dropped the Smackoff odds. I have thoughts on that. We have a lot to get to. It's Smackoff season. So get up in here. Take your shot on a Friday. You cannot win the event if you're not in the event. Then you have to qualify for the event. So the way to do that is get in here, get on the phones, get on the watch list, get a golden ticket, do what you got to do. 1-800-636-8686. Hit me up also on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. I pushed out two podcasts in the last 2 days. An awesome, awesome Jim Rome podcast with former NFLer Gerald McCoy. I want to reset that for you. I pushed out a reinvention project with Eric Musselman this morning. Ton of content, and I need to lead with something, so why don't we start right here? Yo, South Florida. Yesterday, I did open up the show asking if things have ever been better. Today, I'm going to open up the show, not with a question, but with a statement. A statement with just two words. Statement being, uh-oh! I'm not asking any questions. I already know the answer. So a statement. Two words. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
If ever there was a time for the slowest, most pixelated, most distorted, most drawn out Carl Lewis that we have ever dropped on this program, and we've done it before, but never like this, the time is now. Everybody, all together now, join in with Carl and I, and coming in 3, 2, 1, oh, oh. Slow enough, long enough, drawn out enough, pixelated enough. I think I have one more in me. Hey, South Florida. Oh, oh, what a difference a day makes. I mean, not really. Well done, Alvin. Alvin! Oh, man. The Panthers are still in the Stanley Cup Final. Y'all did send two schools to the Final Four last month, including FAU, which still doesn't even seem possible, but that did happen. We saw it. It's still an all-time great stretch for a South Florida sports fan. But all that said, it is going to be a tight butt weekend in Miami. And I don't mean toned, tanned buttocks.
Buttocks.
I mean clenched buttholes. Because the Heat now find themselves in an incredibly sketchy situation. Ask any Heat fan. Heat fan is freaking the hell out this morning, and everybody else seems to be on the Celtics right now. No team has ever made it back from a 3-0 deficit in the history of the association, but go tell that to the lava spewers on social media because they disagree. They say the Celtics have already made history, that they've already won the series, that this series is already over. I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet, but I will say this. Miami better seal the deal at home Saturday night. this Game 6 just turned into a Game 7 for the Heat, because shipping back up to Boston for a Memorial Day Game 7 would be a nightmare. It would probably end up looking a lot like last night. And last night, the Heat got wire-to-wire curb-stomped. If you didn't see that game, do not let that final score fool you. That was a 30-point beatdown disguised as a 13-point loss. Now, I will give Miami this. At least they didn't quit. They did not quit on this game. They just never showed up in the first place. The game was over 6 or 7 minutes in. Halfway through that first quarter, it was Celtics by 16, and everybody on the court, and everybody in the arena, and everybody watching at home, and everybody worldwide knew that game was already over. And at no point did Miami make any sort of move to give anybody any reason to believe. Which is why Heat fan is sounding a little hopeless this morning, even though Miami is still up 3-2. And of course, none of the previous 150 teams in NBA history that have had a 3-0 lead in a playoff series have ever lost that series. In fact, only three of those 150 to face a 3-0 deficit have even made it to a Game 7. So the history, the numbers, everything is still on Miami's side, except for the momentum. The mo now belongs to the Boston Celtics. Listen, the Celtics were always the more talented team. The Celtics were the better team throughout the entire regular season, and they picked a pretty damn good time to remember that too. Suddenly, Boston looks like the team that most thought had a legitimate shot at ripping the Lario, and suddenly, Miami looks like that 8 seed that just did survive the play-in tourney. So, what the hell gives? What gives? Now what? I gotta know. And if I want to find out, and I have to know, where do I go? I go to my dude, Himmy Buckets. Himmy, the hell happened last night? Before that, even. Himmy, the hell happened to everything's gonna be all right?
Everything's gonna be all right.
My dude, nothing was all right last night. Everything sucked last night. What happened to everything's gonna be all right? Listen, my dude, I would never, ever, ever abandon you. You're my dude. You're one of one. You are still Jimmy freaking Butler. So I know you know this, but you can't hit the podium singing, "Everything's gonna be all right." And then come out for the next game looking like that. My man, you can't hit the podium singing that and then come out with a game worst minus 24 last night. Like, I don't know what that was. I don't know if you were gassed. I don't know if you were saving energy. I don't know if you got any of your big face coffee in your system yesterday. But to call my dude low energy would be an understatement. And the fact is, they take their cue and he sets the tone. It then continued into the postgame when he delivered what I frankly have to say is one of the sleepiest guarantees ever.
We just got to play better, start the games off better on the starters, make it more difficult for them. They're in a rhythm since the beginning of the game, but we're always going to stay positive knowing that we can and we will win this series, and we'll just have to close it out at home.
Not exactly Joe Namath. Not exactly Mark Messier. Yeah! Listen, there's a good reason why people aren't shaking in fear at that guarantee this morning. That guarantee is barely on anybody's radar because it rings about as hollow right now as "everything's gonna be all right." Maybe he knows. I know this, though. Here's what I know. They have never, ever needed a Himmy Buckets game more than they need one right now. Man, do they need this guy to be that guy. They need Himmy to be him. And holy crap, did these guys miss my Gaucho Gabe Vincent last night? And not just Gaucho Gabe's buckets, but Gaucho Gabe's defense, Gaucho Gabe's energy, toughness, aggressiveness. It's almost like without Gaucho Gabe, Miami does not have a chance in this series. It's almost like Miami knows it too. And man, nothing against Kyle Lowry, but dude, yo, you, with all the postseason experience, man, you got to be better than that, dude. You have to be better than that. The Heat better hope that my guy's ankle is good to go for game six. And they better win that game six, because that game six is, in fact, their game seven. You don't even have to take that from me. Ask any Heat fan. They would all tell you exactly the same. Meanwhile, Boston fan could not be any more confident. Boston fan could not be any more hyped. Or more perfectly summed up by this one Chowd, who shared this message on a New Hampshire local news station last night.
The city of Boston is built on grit. We know what to do. This is clockwork. We are Title Town. We're going to go to Miami, and it's going to be a South Beach massacre. Celtics at seven, baby. We know what to do. Don't test us. Lynn Green, Chase Racing, let's go.
Wow, my half fam. I hear a guy like that, and I wish I was all fam. Don't test us. Let's go. We know what to do. That is all of Chowtown right now. My half fam could not be more full of confidence. And it is tight butt time in South Beach. But it's all good in Beantown. Tight butt time in South Beach. But apparently, it is slap butt time in the Celtics locker room. Man, how good do they feel about each other? This good. You see Grant Williams? You see his postgame last night? Or more importantly, did you hear his postgame last night? Check out the sound of Jaylen Brown and Al Horford just wailing away on this dude's buttocks while he's trying to give an interview.
Do our job to make sure we get it back here. That's number one goal. Take care of the next game, one game at a time. We can't look too far ahead. Ouch. And make sure that we got...
Good job, Grant.
We got to make sure we take this one game at a time and make sure that we just make sure we stay together, honestly.
Get some work on that. Thank you, Grant. Congratulations.
Get some ice or ibuprofen for that buttocks. Work on what?
Buttocks.
His red and swollen buttocks. I mean, damn, fellas, take it easy.
Too far ahead.
I guess.
And make sure that we got...
Good job, Grant.
Yo, Grant.
We got to make sure we take this one game at a time.
Good job. Good effort, Grant. I guess now we've got the full picture of what the vibe is going to be like on Saturday night. Miami fans with extraordinarily tight butts. Grant Williams with a sore butt.
We got...
Good job, Grant.
Wow.
We got...
Good job, Grant.
He almost went off with a GD bomb.
We got...
Good job, Grant.
I'll tell you, it's a good job, Grant, the way he caught himself. He almost went with a GD bomb and just caught himself.
We got...
Good job, Grant.
That is tough, man. That's a dude who did not blink. He almost did. One more time, Albie.
One game at a time. We can't look too far ahead. Ouch. And make sure that we got...
Good job, Grant.
Anyway, Miami fan better hope that Gabe can go, or they'll probably end up walking out of that place on Saturday even more butthurt than they are right now. Even more butthurt than Grant is.
Make sure that we got...
Good job, Grant.
Himmy, my man. And again, I'm team content, so I'm loving this series. I love it. I love that it was not a sweep. I do not have a dog in this fight, but Himmy, you're already a legend. Already. But if you want to go next level, and I wasn't sure that there was, but there is now, you need to find a way to get this done. You need to make damn sure you do not let the half fam, my half fam, go into your house and walk out with another win. It's Himmy Buckets time. Otherwise, blowing that 3-0 lead is going to stick to you. It's going to stick to everybody there for the rest of time. You, Spo, Riles, Gabe, everybody. Because you're not beating the Celtics in Game 7 in their house. You're not. You're just not. no matter how much trouble my half fam has had in their own house in the postseason the last 2 years. You are not beating them in a game seven. Not the way they're playing right now.
Don't test us!
You're going to beat that guy and 18,000 others like him? The hell you are.
Lynn Green, Chase Rankin, let's go!
That's one dude. Imagine 20,000 of that guy.
And it's going to be a South Beach massacre!
Your game six is your game seven. Then after the game, you knew Jaylen Brown was going to triple down.
We were the tougher playing team. We set the tone from start to finish, and we had a great team win. We hit shots, and they let us get two. So don't let us get another one.
He said it. Don't let us get one. Don't let us get two. And now don't let us get another one. I mean, it already worked twice. Why the hell not? Hey, Heat culture, you're not going to let them get another one, right? Because you know Jaylen Brown has a quadruple down locked and loaded.
So don't let us get another one.
Make sure that we got
good, good.
Make sure that we...
All right, so now what? Nobody had ever come back from a 3-0 deficit. Now you get yourselves a really important game six. 1-800-636-8686. Ha, fam. Get up in here. How you feeling about things?
We know what to do!
South Florida, how you feeling about things? Now what? Now what? I want to talk about some other things, including my guy, Blocky. What an absolutely wild, bizarre, jacked up week he's had. And I say jacked up not because he shot 81, not because he was last in the field, but jacked up over the entire world adores this guy, loves this guy, and then can't wait to rush in and murder this guy. It's just the way of the world. And by the way of the world, I mean completely jacked up. And I want to break that down for you. I mentioned I had a great conversation with Gerald McCoy yesterday on the Jim Rohn podcast. I want to reset that. I also mentioned Stucknut is out with the odds. The Stucknut odds. It's just one man's opinion. Now, however, this man, his opinion, it matters. Because this guy knows more about this show than even I know about this show. He's documented every single word out of my mouth for about 25 years. So he knows. He knows you. He knows the clones. He knows those in the smack off. His odds matter. They're unofficial odds, but they matter. And I want to react to it. And I've got that coming up for you a little bit later on. On top of that, I've got Bruce Bochy, the manager of the Rangers at 940. Zaire Franklin, top of hour three.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
All right, this is exactly what I'm looking for, some reaction. Reaction from somebody who's got some skin in the game. This is Walt. Walt on, quote, beautiful Miami Beach. Walt writes, Boston had to win game four to avoid the sweep. They were never going to lose their return to Boston. Plus, they had a ridiculous three-point shooting night last night. I'm not worried, and my butt is just fine. Plus, we beat them twice in their house. Walt on beautiful Miami Beach. Hey, Walt, totally appreciate you. Here's my thing. To your point that, hey, man, they shot lights out last night beyond the three. Right. The problem with that argument is that was the argument when they shot lights out beyond the three the game before. In fact, I'll be transparent about this. I took Miami in the points last night. And the reason I did that, I didn't think they were going to necessarily win, but I did like the points. And I think I got 8.5. The reason I did that, I didn't think that Boston would shoot lights out beyond the arc two games in a row, not the way Miami gets after you defensively. But they did. So that's the problem with your argument. Hey, they shot incredibly beyond the three last night. We don't need to worry about that. They're not doing that again. Well, they did do it again. They've done that two games in a row right now. So how do you know they won't do it again? They're in a rhythm. They're shooting it. They're getting good looks. They're knocking them down. They could do that to you again. This whole thing about how, yeah, well, we beat them twice in their house. Yeah, that's another point. They lose a lot of games in their house. In fact, I have no idea how they are where they are, given how poorly they play in their house. They're 11-11 the last two postseasons in their house. So I wouldn't bank on that either. That means nothing. Everybody beats them in their house. The problem is they win on the road. They're 13-7 on the road in the postseason. So I wouldn't feel that good. I'm not saying that you can't still win this thing. I'm just saying I'm not nearly as confident as you are. And frankly, I think your butt should be puckered. I think that you're in a tough spot right now. Boston would say to you, the pressure is on them. And they'd be right. I don't think that any of you, and I know that you feel like we have had a lot of guys go down and guys step up, and it's always somebody else, and you never know who it is. Did any of you ever think that my guy, Gabe Vincent, would be as critical to what you do as he is? Because he is. And I would say you better hope he goes, but it has to be more than that. You better hope he goes, and you better hope he's close to being what he was. They need this guy. I saw 37-year-old Kyle Lowry get that start and could not have been less impressed. Man, that dude's got to be better. He's got to do better. He's been there before. Yes, I did throw dirt on Boston when they were down 3-0, but this series feels very different right now, and I would not bank on them not being able to knock in the three ball because they have two nights in a row. Like I said, it's almost like both these teams remembered who they were. Boston, at the last second, luckily remembered they're the team to beat. Miami, unfortunately, remembered that they're a team that was scuffling, just did get in, and barely survived the play-in tournament. Now what? I think Kyle Lowry also remembered he's Kyle Lowry and next to worthless in the postseason. Got to do better. Dave the Rocket Guy writes, Jimmers, Miami Heat's game last night was almost as bad as Himmy Buckets singing. And like I said, at least they didn't quit. I would never say that about the Miami Heat. They didn't quit. Right. They just didn't get off the bus. They just didn't show up. Can I tell you something? You can say what you want about this guy singing. His singing was better than his play. And here's a Nuggets fan weighing in. Rome, as a Nuggets fan, I don't know which team we'd rather face. The Heat look defeated and worn out already. And if the Celtics were running them off the court, wait till either of these teams have to face the track meet or track team that is called the Nuggets. Denver pushes the ball down the court every possession nonstop, has deeper lungs and more stamina than either of these teams. Teams can't go in the deep water in the fourth quarter with Denver. Eric in Castle Rock, he's not wrong. He is not wrong. And they're just laying out, getting their rest, doing their thing, and waiting. And waiting while these two teams knock the hell out of each other. Denver is the team to beat. But this got really interesting, didn't it? They need a Himmy Bucket show in the worst way possible. And finally, Snagger, if you do not have a sticker for Alvy's soundboard for every time he plays the perfect drop to complement the opening conversation, please make it so. Quote, nice of that New Hampshire station to find how Howard Dean feels about the Celtics' chances.
We know what to do. This is clockwork.
We're going to California and Texas and New York. And we're going to South Dakota and Oregon and Washington and Michigan.
We are Title Town. We're going to go to Miami. And it's going to be a South Beach massacre!
And then we're going to Washington, D.C. to take back the White House!
Celtics at 7, baby! We know what to do! Don't test us! Lead green!
Yeah! Allen and Raleigh, good job, dude. You know, when I read that, I thought that was good. But then to hear that in playback was even better. That was well done.
Make sure that we got
really well done. And finally, Rome. The Heat should be okay. Even if they blow the lead and they end up losing, history will be kind to them. or at worst, just forget altogether. Sincerely, the Atlanta Fail Clowns. Marshall in Orlando, that's what I'm saying. I love the Heat culture. I still believe in the Heat culture. That will stick to every last one of them, including Himmy. Like, Himmy is an icon. Spo is the best coach in the NBA right now. Pat Riley is an all-time legend of the game. There is so much to like about them. If they blow this 3-0 lead, it doesn't even matter that they would blow a 3-0 lead to a team that's so much more talented that everybody expected to win. If they blow that 3-0 lead, that will stick to every last one of them. It will always come up. It will always come back. That can't happen, but it could. History will not be kind to them. Believe that. All right, when we return, I'm going to check in on an old buddy. Boch! Bruce Bochy. He tried retirement. Guess it didn't really particularly suit him. He's back. An all-time great manager. He's won over 2,000 games, and he's got the Rangers playing really well right now. Bruce Bochy joins me on the other side of this, but first, I have got a sports update for you. Actually, I don't, but Greg Caserta does. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. I've been fired up all morning long, and I'm especially fired up for this. Especially fired up for this conversation. We are joined right now by the manager of the Texas Rangers. He is in his first season there. Previously, the manager of the Padres and the Giants. Of course, a three-time World Series champion. He was the 1996 National League Manager of the Year. He's just the 11th manager in Major League history to win over 2,000 games. The Rangers are in first in the AL West. They take on Baltimore tonight. We are joined by Bruce Bochy. Boch, it is great to talk to you. It is great to have you on the show. Boch, how you doing, my friend?
Hey, Romy, thanks. It's good to hear your voice as well. And, you know, there's a lot of things you miss, you know, when you're out for a while. But it's good to hear you. What's going on there?
Yeah, you too, Boch. It's so good to hear your voice, and it's so good to have you back. You know, just grinding it out, doing my thing here, and it's great to talk to you. Let me ask you about the team. You know, the Rangers had not had a winning season since 2016. I think there are a lot of people, Bruce, outside your clubhouse that are surprised, maybe even stunned by how well the team is playing right now. Are you yourself at all surprised to see your club sitting atop the AL West?
I tell you, Romy, I'm not surprised. I mean, it's a long season, but I thought this team would be right there. I really did. I looked at the talent. And when Chris Young, our general manager, went out and signed starting pitching that he did, I knew that each one of those guys would give us a chance to win on any day they went out there. So, no, I felt good about the offense. I said this is a team that can put up some runs and do it consistently, and it's got depth to it. We've had a couple of nice young kids that played well. There's Josh Young and Duran, but the veterans are doing their thing, Marcus and Seager and those guys. But it's really the starting pitching that's been so solid for us, and you know, we're trying to get this bullpen straighten out a little bit. That's been a little hiccup, but really beside that, they've been playing some great baseball.
So there's a lot of good stuff in that, Boch, that I want to respond to, but I want to ask you one thing. When you stepped away from the dugout after that incredible run with the Giants in 2019, did you do so thinking, all right, I had a great run, I am officially retired, or maybe deep down in the back of your mind were you thinking, this is just a sabbatical and I'm going to find my way back to the game?
Well, I think the latter, to be honest. You know, I needed a break. I needed a couple things done. My back was killing me, and I had surgery, and it's doing great now. And but I think probably mentally, just take a little break and see where my head's at. And I was fine the first year. First year was the COVID year that I stepped out, and I said, well, I'm glad I'm not dealing with that because I didn't want to wear a mask in the dugout and be bubbled in a hotel, so I was okay. But, you know, second year I started missing it more, and I think what really hit me was the third year out, I went to France to help them qualify in the WBC. Now, we weren't very good, but I got back in the dugout, and I said, man, I miss this, and I didn't know if I would, you know, 3 years out, you don't know if somebody is going to give you a call. I didn't call anybody, but Chris Young, he called me to get my appetite on doing this, and Then he flew out to Nashville. That's where I live now. And we spent 7 hours talking, and I said, let's go, man. I was fired up. I couldn't wait to get back on the field. And no regrets. I'm loving it. A great group here. And, you know, that retirement's overrated. So if you're thinking about it, I'm just telling you that.
It's great, Boach. I'm not. I'm all in. I'm like you. I'm all in. I still love it, and I still love it when my feet hit the ground in the morning. So, no, I'm not thinking about it. Bruce Boach is joining us. So, Boach, it's an incredible note to me, but despite all your experience, this is actually your first managerial gig in the American League. In fact, not only that, you never even played in the American League back in the day. Now, I understand that the divide isn't what it used to be because of the interleague play and the universal DH, but it just seems a little odd that you're in the AL. Does it feel odd? Has there been any kind of adjustment because of that?
You know, initially it did, you know, because you're right. I was always in the National League, but I think you look at the game now. I don't know the difference, to be honest. You know, with player movement, the rules, you know, the DH in both leagues, I couldn't tell you. The umpires, you know, there's no separation there. They're in both leagues. So, you know, once, you know, I got some, you know, halfway in spring training, whatever, that's kind of how I felt. That's it. It's really no different to being in the National League. So I just initially, because, of my longevity in the National League. It's probably why it felt a little strange for me.
We're talking to Bruce Bochy. Boach, you mentioned Corey Seager. Let me ask you about him. I mean, the team has already dealt with some adversity, including the fact that he missed a month with that hamstring injury. He's back. He had a huge game against the Rockies this past Saturday. How good is it to have him back, and what does he mean to your club?
Oh, man, it's great to have him back. I mean, you're talking about one of the best hitters in baseball, and I mean that. You know, it's really amazing. I think he had 5 at-bats in his rehab and first game back. I mean, he was just squaring up balls. First left-hander he saw, he lined a shot center field. He just got an incredible approach, simple, and really he's our guy along with Marcus and you know, Lowe and Garcia. I mean, we need him. So I will say Duran did a great job, you know, filling in to help soften that blow of losing him. But it's good to have Corey back because he's got power. He's got a great eye at the plate, and he's just a solid shortstop. And we missed him, and it's a different lineup with him in it. We're seeing that already.
Rangers manager Bruce Bochy is joining us once again. Boach, you mentioned the pitching. You know, the team is looking to win. The team is looking to win big right now, as evidenced by that big swing that it took in signing Jacob DeGrom. He's been on the IL, but I know he's had some bullpens, and I think maybe even having another one today. How does he look to you, and then how close is he to rejoining the team?
Yeah, Rami, he's close. I mean, his last bullpen, he was letting it go pretty good today. In the bullpen, he's going to be throwing the slider to breaking balls and probably just take it up another notch. And then all goes well. We'll see how he comes out of it. Then possibly could be facing hitters real soon. So, you know, it's hard to say how long. Could be 2 to 3 weeks. Really depends on how he's bouncing back. But it's nothing but good news right now after every bullpen. He didn't feel a thing last bullpen. And so we're very encouraged about where he's at. And now I'll just add to that, you know, another guy that filled in when he went down is Dane Dunning. And I can't say enough about what this kid's done for us and you know, replacing him to help ease the loss of losing Jacob.
Especially if Jacob is spinning it now in those bullpens. That's really a good sign. You know, Boach, you're in Baltimore,
right?
So it gives me a chance to ask you about their great young catcher, Adley Rutschman. I spoke to him recently. I could not have been more impressed with what I heard from him. I know you've probably heard the comparisons between him and a guy that helped you win 3 World Series titles in Buster Posey. I want to be so, so careful before I compare any young player to Buster. But do you see any similarities between the two of them?
I do. I think at where he's at his age and where Buster was at that time, yeah, it's comparable. When we brought Buster up in 2010, you know, we were a different club. He took over. He was a guy that led the staff and also a guy that hit in the heart of the order. He had a great great way about him. He had a calmness there, and I see this kid the same way. And I mean, he's, you know, switch hitter, you know, a little different that way, but both of them are just such good hitters, smart hitters, but do tremendous job at, you know, handling the staff. You look at what Baltimore's doing here, how well they're throwing the ball, and he has to get credit. And same with Buster. That's who we had, a guy that really helped turn that staff around with how he handled them.
Hey, but Boach, one last thought. I mean, it's very clear how much you love this game, the deep, deep passion you have for the game. I'm always fascinated by people who achieve sustained success. Again, you've won over 2,000 games. You've managed over 4,000 games. And I know you'll point to having excellent players over that time, and it's true, but what do you think has kept you so vibrant, so engaged, so energetic, and still working at an elite level after all these years? Like, I like to study that type of thing. What's your opinion? Why are you still performing at such a high level after all this time?
Wow, that's a tough one, really. I think to keep it simple is just how much I love the game, how much I missed it when I was out, and it was evident to me that, you know, this is what I should be doing. It, you know, if I get a call, I knew it was in my heart, and I felt like I felt better, had the energy to get back, and, yeah, there's so many things about this game I love, and yeah, sure, the game itself, strategy and everything, but the relationships. I love to travel. There's nothing about it I really don't like, and so that's probably kept me going because I've said this: if I step back and retired, I probably would coach a team somewhere. I just love baseball, and so I guess that's the biggest thing I can tell you. Because anytime you have passion for something, you work at it, and you're decent at it, and I tell kids that it's just something that's been in my blood for so long, and I don't think I've arrived. Trust me, I'm trying to get better every day. As you know, the game has changed, and I'm learning. I said that coming in. I'm gonna have to learn from the staff about these players. I'm gonna have to learn about the changes in the game, how they do things, and whatever. So it's just about trying to get better every day.
I love that so much. I love that you're still trying to get better every single day. I love that. And one last thought, one quick follow. You said, if I wasn't doing this, I'd probably be coaching somewhere. Fact is, you were. You were coaching. Weren't you coaching your grandson's team? Weren't you coaching T-ball? How'd that go?
Yeah. It went well. I told him, too. Man, I said, you're driving me back to managing the major leagues, man. This is harder than the job I had there. Because I'd be standing out there, and, you know, you have to guide him in T-ball. And he said, Papa, I want to hit. I don't want to stand out here. I said, we all do, but this is what you got to do. And so I kid him. He's the one that drove me back in the managing.
That is the best. All right, so he's in his first season with the Rangers. They're on top in the AL West. Old friend Bruce Bochy joining us once again. Boach, I can't believe how long it's been, but you sound absolutely awesome. I appreciate the relationship, the friendship, and it's so good to have you back on the show, Boach.
Man, thank you, and it's great to talk with you. Hopefully I'll see you down the road here.
You got it, Boach. Me too. Bruce Bochy joining us. Such a great, great story. All right, so he had retired, and that was after that great, great run with the Giants. First year was fine, then the pandemic, started missing a little bit, got the phone call, got back in, and they look great. Again, they have not had a winning season since 2016, and they're on top of the AL West right now, and they've had injuries. They've had injuries, and they're playing really well. So good to have Boach back on. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. Stuck Nut. Yeah, I know, Nut. You're not the only one, but I'll read it. Boach has the Rangers pitchers pitching well, and the hitters hitting well, and the fielders fielding well, and the fans fanning well. Signed, Mike in San Diego.
The Giants win the pennant. The Giants win the pennant. The Giants win the pennant. Jimmy, I just want to chime in on the...
The Giants winning the pennant.
Yeah, they won the pennant, Jim.
Yeah, they did.
R.I.P. Mike in San Diego, a jungle legend. We've lost a lot of our fam in recent years. He was an all-timer. Okay, when we come back, what I want to get into is Stucknut's smack-off odds. I want to talk about my guy, Blocky. Zaire Franklin's coming up at the top of hour number three. And our phone lines are wide open, 1-800-636-8686.